safety to beat it's Darnell Savage. And he beat him. Dalvin Cook to the 30. That is loose. Touchdown. 75-yard TD for Dalvin Cook. Breathing life into the Minnesota Vikings. It's the longest run of his career, and it's 21-6 Green Bay.
Thanks to Cook, Cousins bootlegs right, chased by Dean Lowry. Looks at right corner of the end zone. Leaping interception.
Kevin King's
got it. Green Bay football. A spectacular leaping grab. Time running out, but Trubisky completes the pass to Burton, who runs out of bounds. Another penalty, 7 seconds used up there.
Personal foul, roughing the passer, defense. Number 55, that 15-yard penalty will be added to the result of the play. Automatic first down.
And a big break for the Bears, roughing the passer.
Scales down the ball, O'Donnell to the hole from the right hash, angle to the left, good placement, boot by Eddie Pinheiro, kick to the uprights, and the kick is good for the win! Pinheiro with the De Niro kick to send Denver down as time expires. Bears 16, Denver 14, they escape with the victory on the road. Rarely done here in Denver in the first 2 weeks of the season. Bears are 1-1, fade to black.
I wouldn't get too excited there, buddy.
Oh, that was great. Well, it wasn't a well-played Sunday most of the NFC North. And we tend to ignore the Detroit Lions in our conversations, but they're in second place. They are technically undefeated at 1-0-1, even though the loss was a 2-touchdown lead they blew. They are still in second place at 1-0-1. Bears 2-0. Vikings and Pack 1-1. After you heard it, the Kirk Cousins interception, the main reason why the Minnesota Vikings lost yesterday. There's a lot of thumbs up, thumbs down to give after 2 weeks of the NFL, which will be complete after the Jets play the Browns tonight, an ode to the first ever Monday Night Football game. Our football digs with Curtis Riggs, the head coach of the Sioux Falls Storm. By now, you've probably heard him, but if you haven't, you really want to. The man can talk football like nobody I know in the Sioux Empire. That's why we give him two segments, half hour every week. And he's watching it all. The pros, college, local South Dakota college, high school. We do it all. 20 minutes away. John Gaskins with Craig Maddock at the Midco SN Studio in downtown Sioux Falls. To lead the show, I'm sure you're not surprised. We are a Vikings station. We gave a mostly Vikings point of view on that loss. 73% of you agree on Twitter that that was more of a Vikings loss than a Packers win yesterday. And there are a lot of things to give a thumbs down to if you are a Minnesota Vikings fan. And now is one of your three opportunities you'll get today. So give us a call at 336-1230, 336-1230, Craig, as we begin another edition of a Monday tradition, unlike any other in Sioux Empire Sports Radio.
Yeah, whether it's a sports player, sports team, or a sports issue, someone deserves a pat on the back for a job well done. Maybe it's a kick in the keister. We call it Craig and John's thumbs up, thumbs down.
I'll start with Kirk Cousins. That's the obvious one.
Good. Now you're piling up.
You have to do it, man. Look, a lot of things were even in that game. Both teams made some mistakes. Packers almost blew a 21-zip lead. There are a couple of chances they had to seal it. The Vikings stopped them on a 4th-and-1. So stop it with the should have kicked the field. Well, you didn't. But anyway, this was the Vikings wearing down the Packer defense quite clearly, had all the momentum, pounding run after run, and one crucial Cousins third down conversion to Kyle Rudolph before just an absurd A, decision to call the play, so a thumbs down to Kevin Stefanski, and B, the decision Kirk Cousins made on the play.
Play action. Kirk rolls out to the right. He stops. He fires to the back right of the end zone. Awful pass. Was that picked off?
That was a terrible play by Cousins.
Kevin King.
Throw it out of the back of the...
Green Bay ball. Are you kidding me with that? Oh, my heavens. Back right of the end zone. Rolling out to the right. First and goal from the 8.
Yeah. Just unnecessary. He could have just thrown it away when he saw too much coverage. But as a quarterback who is talented in last year, through a pass only Adam Thielen could leap and grab to help pull the Vikings from three touchdowns behind in that game early in the season at Lambeau. Cousins is a playmaker. You can laugh at that, but he showed that on the pass to Diggs earlier in this game. He's a lot of good and a lot of terrible, and he's unfortunately too much terrible when a game is on the line. And he thought he could make some sort of nifty throw, and he couldn't. Kevin King made a great grab, by the way, so thumbs up to him. But Cousins wasn't just bad on that play. Most of the day, 14 of 32. He had his third lowest rating in a game as a quarterback in his NFL career. He was garbage for most of the day on a day where Dalvin Cook went for averaged 9 yards a carry, and the Vikings should have won that game. They should have come all the way back. They were right there to do it until he did it. That's the first thumbs down that needs to be doled out.
By the way, Kirk Cousins is the lowest-rated passer in the National Football League.
I mean, he looked terrible yesterday. All the things that people knock him for, you saw. He had a couple
interceptions, fumbles.
Yeah, he had a couple fumbles, and he had the most in the NFL since 2015 coming into the game.
By the way, Dalvin Cook is the leading rusher in the NFL, 265 yards.
I'd love to see the ball in his hands on first and goal from the gate.
The Vikings hosting Oakland this Sunday. We'll stay thumbs down in football. Got to give it to the USD Coyote football team. Although, the more you look at it, Houston Baptist, they have received votes in the top 25 in this week's FCS poll. Houston Baptist has been an FCS team for only 5 years. They've won only 10 games. In fact, it was a year and a half ago. The NCAA placed Houston Baptist on a 2-year probation, along with a public reprimand and recruiting penalties because the coach failed to promote an atmosphere of compliance. That was a year and a half ago. So that suspension is 6 months left. But here's the deal. They came in throwing the ball and throwing the ball and throwing the ball. The Coyotes could not stop it. That was our fear. Over 500 yards of passing, and Houston Baptist defeats the Coyotes. Coyotes are now 0-3. They're at Northern Colorado Saturday.
Houston Baptist failing to comply. That's not very godlike, is it? It's supposed to be an institution of not just higher learning, but
there's been other
higher religious
teams in the Houston
learning
area have been in that same kind of boat there.
Geez, probably. Even at the FCS level, it's just Texas is such cutthroat when it comes to your roster. So that's why they were getting better, huh? By the way, a thumbs up to Austin Simmons for winning an award. He's the Offensive Player of the Week in the Mo Valley in the midst of a 53-52 loss. He did lead the Yotes to 52. His 537 yards passing is the most in school history. And four touchdown passes in one game that ties his career high. So he gets the Player of the Week from a league that now has four teams ranked in the top 10. But that does not convince our buddy Coyote Eric, who gives Simmons and the rest of the team a big thumbs down. He wrote me a lengthy email, but since we're on USD at 0-3, short version, we suck, may not win a game, and that is not hyperbole. Long version, I have no idea what the hell is happening in Vermilion. Defense can't stop bleeding from a paper cut. For all the talk about being positionless and multiple, the only thing multiple is the number of third down conversions and TD given up for blown coverage. And he also went on to say, do not pass out any bouquets to Simmons. Don't let the statistics fool you. Don't get fooled. He sucked too. Missing open receivers. No pocket awareness whatsoever. Refuses to step up in the pocket when the edge rushers are coming from the field. He'd rather try to run laterally from them or backpedal into them. He always throws off his back foot. I don't get what the hell is happening. That's from Coyote Eric, who is at the Dome.
Well, Eric, I don't think anybody should win an award in a loss.
Well, you know how these awards are voted on, Craig. Not everybody who votes in these things saw every game. In fact,
probably lost.
Well, so what? I don't think that matters to win an award. If you throw for over 500 yards, and that's a school record.
It's pretty good.
But, and that's what happens, is these voters vote on stats because they don't see all the games. They don't have to. Who's voting on this? Media? Coaches? Who in that league, in any league, watches all the games? They don't. So they read their stats and they go, oh, he set a school record. He had 500 yards. He must be the Offensive Player of the Week. And, to his credit, his defense, that defense couldn't stop a thing. And I don't know how good Houston Baptist defense is, but Austin Simmons did keep his team in the game with the ball in his hands. But according to Coyote Eric, he's worried about how well things will go when it comes to the Mo Valley. Even next week at Northern Colorado, a team that's also 0-3. One of those losses is to Washington State, who's a top 25 FBS team. So
More to come. If you look at the FCS poll out today, you did mention four FCS teams from the Mo are in the top 10. Mm-hmm. If there was a top 30, Houston Baptist would be at number 30.
All right. He's Craig. I'm John. 336-1230. Lots more thumbs up and thumbs down to give here on Sports Talk with Craig and John. But we want to hear from you. We want to hear yours. 336-1230. 336-1230. Who from the weekend of sports deserves a pat on the back or a kick in the keister?
Kicker Daniel Esparza, University of Sioux Falls, special teams player of the week in the Northern Sun, had 10 points and a 50-yard field goal as the Cougars' nice home win as they bounce back after their loss at Concordia 10 days ago. They defeat Winona State last Saturday.
I played the clip earlier. Let's go back to the NFL before we get to Gary and Adam on the Tires, Tires, Tires fan line. It came late. In fact, I was out at one of those fine steakhouse establishments in Sioux Falls, and I saw the Denver Broncos celebrating a victory. That's what I thought I saw from the TV in the bar away from where the family was sitting down in a booth, and what I had not seen was this.
Time running out, but Trubisky completes the pass to Burton, who runs out of bounds. Another penalty, 7 seconds used up there.
Personal foul, roughing the passer, defense. Number 55, that 15-yard penalty will be added to the result of the play. Automatic first down.
And a big break for the Bears, roughing the passer.
Come on, if Anthony Barr didn't get roughing for his hit on Aaron Rodgers a couple years ago, that shouldn't be roughing the passer, especially that late in a game by Bradley Chubb. But again, the Barr hit, even though it wasn't even penalized, let alone he was suspended, that did lead to awful, careful flag throwing when it comes to the refs on that, plus a lot of other things. The refs did not have a good weekend in the NFL. Laundry all over the place, especially in that game at Lambeau Field. They are calling too much, but that's partly a byproduct of that blatant miscall they had in the NFC title game between the Saints and the Rams.
Cheaters.
And, yeah, so...
The whiners.
Now we can
the
review...
The shooters and the whiners.
That's just about everything. So that game should have ended in a Denver victory, as I had predicted. I was sad my prediction was wrong. I still think the Bears are going to struggle to go much better than 8-8 with that offense. They just will. And you can't win every game 16-14.
No.
Especially against teams with good offenses, which the Broncos don't have. Let's go to the Tires, Tires, Tires fan line. Gary leads off. Our calls from you, thumbs up, thumbs down from the weekend of sports here on Craig and John, KWSN in Sioux Falls. What's up, Gary?
Hi. I have two thumbs up and one thumbs down. One thumbs up would be for the Vikings as a whole. They got down 21-0, and yet they found a way to come back and put themselves in a position to win. Mm-hmm. Unlike when they got way behind Buffalo a year or two ago and they just rolled over.
Yep, that was last year, yep.
So, that's a thumbs up, and then a thumbs down, I guess, for Kirk Cousins for fumbling and that bad pass. He must have seen the double coverage. And then, but yet at the same token, a thumbs up to Kirk Cousins for the press conference afterwards where he fielded all the questions and
tried, he owned it, didn't he?
He tried
it.
To answer him. He didn't just use a one- or two-word answer. He didn't walk away like Cam Newton or something. He faced it.
Yeah. All right. I appreciate that, Gary. Yeah, it's true. I don't really normally besiege Cam Newton for being frustrated. You ask these guys to speak a half hour after something horrible happened. It was the, well, that's even more. You lose the Super Bowl close. And, yeah, we'd like to think we'd handle it better than that situation. But you're asking guys to talk about the worst moment of their lives. And so on the same side, yeah, good for Kirk for owning it. But, like, if he would have done anything else, we would be justifiably ripping him. That's what you're supposed to do. That was a terrible throw. He still tried to explain it, like, hey, we were just looking for back of the end zone, just trying to get it where only the receiver can get it. And, you know, if I miss it, I miss it out of bounds. And they
yeah,
made
but he also said, can't do that.
Yeah. I mean,
he tried to explain a little bit, and he kind of stopped himself and just...
You know, it was just a gut-wrenching loss. You know, proud of the way my teammates fought, kept fighting, but very disappointed in my performance today. You know, it just wasn't good enough at the quarterback position to expect to win, and yet I felt like with the way our team fought, you know, we were right there at the end as a result of the way our team kept playing. And, you know, it was just a frustrating game walking away. I just didn't feel like I did my part today and didn't feel like I gave our team, you know, the chance that it needed from my role. Yeah. And that's very, very frustrating, very disappointing.
No kidding.
You know, I'll stand up here and, you know, really take ownership
but,
for that.
But at some point, look, he had so many games where he was a no-show in critical moments last year. And some of that had to do with the fact that his line didn't give him enough time to make big-time throws. And he was hearing footsteps because of that line so often late in games late last year. And because he had an offensive coordinator who was fired, didn't even make it through the season because he abandoned the run too easily and too much. But, you know, after 18 games, at some point, yeah, you can only be applauded so much for owning the loss. How about go out and not lose it.
Win the game.
Yeah. Adam joins us on the Tires fan line here on Craig and John. Thumbs up, thumbs down. What's up, Adam?
Well, before I get to the thumbs up, let's play a little trivia here, gentlemen.
Oh, I love this. Go ahead.
All right. I'll start off. Who is, just to refer back to your main man there, who is the guy that makes $84 million as a quarterback?
Ooh,
the answer is?
Clever question, Adam. I love where this is going. Is it Kirk Cousins?
You are correct on number one.
All right. Yes, oh, man. Adam, I can tell Adam's been working on this all day, hijacking our show. Okay, go ahead. What's the next trivia question?
Question number two. Who's still on their rookie contract and is a top five QBR in passer rating right now in the NFL?
You tell us.
Dak Prescott.
Okay.
That's my thumbs up right there. How many Vikings fans are salivating over a quarterback that doesn't actually suck? And then you look at Dak Prescott, who's taking off the team, wants to renegotiate his rookie contract, but yet is sitting there saying, hey, look at this team. They're going to be great, and he doesn't turn the ball over.
Right. He's still on his rookie contract. So, he's going to be costing you about as much as Kirk Cousins does, if not more, very soon. But, yeah, you're right for the time being. And how well has he done in games where Ezekiel Elliott wasn't in? Do you know his record during games when he doesn't have Ezekiel Elliott?
Not off the top of my head.
It's not a winning record. There's your trivia question. But I will say this. He's looking better, and he's looking like a quarterback.
Really
They're putting
good,
their trust in him.
Yep.
They are putting their trust in him. There's no doubt about that. By arming him with Amari Cooper and with a better offensive line and a young offensive coordinator. I mean, they're trusting Kellen Moore. And Jason Garrett's kind of turning things over, and they're trusting Dak. Is that it? Is that the end of the trivia game?
That was my trivia. I was hoping you guys would get something right out of it.
Okay. Yeah, well.
By the way, the Vikings in Dallas on a Sunday night coming up in 8 weeks.
Yeah. I'm not going to say Dak Prescott is just a complete product of having Ezekiel Elliott, but, I mean, the Cowboys start there. That opens up Dak Prescott's world. Dak Prescott's not a quarterback who is kind of like Kirk Cousins, really. They're in the kind of the same, to me, ball field. They're on the same plane as far as they have some talent. They can manage games well. They're terrific, as most quarterbacks should be if you have a good running and play action game. Hard to depend on them to make the winning throws. But to his point, I trust Dak to make winning throws more than I do Kirk Cousins at this point. Off the last couple of years.
By the way, Packer fans, safety Raven Green has been placed on IR. So they did have one injury to a starter yesterday, which, I tell you what, there were a handful of teams that really got bit yesterday, whether it was Ben Roethlisberger or Drew Brees. It was a tough day for a few teams.
He's Craig Maddock. I'm John Gaskins. A couple of quick. Man, we'll get to more thumbs up, thumbs down with Curtis Riggs. That's how we'll play it. Let's give Curtis more time. If you have any more thumbs up, thumbs down that we missed, you didn't get a chance to call in, you can always tweet at the show at KWSN Sports. It's always a great way to keep the conversation going during the show and 24 hours a day.
You're not going to give the Twins a thumbs up for what they did over the weekend, or don't we talk Twins baseball anymore because the Vikings kind of overtake?
You know, the word Twins was written a couple times in our show rundown. We just took it pretty easy to forget once the NFL season starts. It really is.
Well, and
we'll come back to them.
We thought Thursday last week that this was a team that was...
Yeah.
Was in trouble.
But you see what they did yesterday, though. Yeah, that was a colossal...
Saturday was a big day for them.
Saturday was a colossal day with Miguel Sano's grand slam late, and yet yesterday they had a chance to sweep the Indians, and what did Rocco Baldelli do? He put Kyle Gibson in a relief spot. So yeah, that's a thumbs down. I actually did have that written down as a thumbs down. I hate to be negative, Nancy, here. I realize the Vikings did a lot of good things yesterday, but they lost, and it was Cousins' fault, and that's where it starts. And with the Twins, that terrific. They won a pitcher's duel 2-0 on Saturday, and then they came from behind, and Miguel Sano hit the big hero 9-5.
So you got a 4.5 game lead, 13 games to go.
It's great, because we were afraid of getting swept with the MASH unit that team had become, and being only a half game ahead, and now they're 4.5 ahead, 13 games left, all against the, as Craig calls it, the dirt pile of the White Sox, Royals, and Tigers to round out the season. With the 4.5 game lead advantage Twins, they'll have their first title in 9 years in that division. But they really, there's still some doubt. Like, crazy things could still happen. They leave the door just a slight crack because Rocco Baldelli decided, I'm going to put Kyle Gibson in a place where he's not familiar with, where he's not comfortable. This is a guy who hasn't been comfortable on the mound or in his own body for the last 2 months. He's just coming off of having basically irritable bowel syndrome. He had E. coli, and then he had ulcerative colitis. And he's just now recovered from that, where he couldn't sleep because he had to go to the bathroom all night, including the days before his starts, and he was shaky. And then in his first start back, he's shaky again on Thursday night. And then you send him into the mound, onto the mound in a close game where if you win this game, you get the sweep and you're 6.5. You're 5. What is it? Would it be? Would they be 6.5?
Yeah, it's 4.5 right now.
They would have been 6.5. That decision cost them a couple games because he didn't handle it well.
And we would have called Baldelli brilliant. With the move,
but it
didn't work.
That's absurd logic, though. It clearly didn't work, and so therefore it was a bad idea. He was terrible. And this is not a time to experiment. You should be done experimenting things. The playoffs have begun. You're trying to win all these games to clinch a title. These are the playoffs. Don't experiment. All right, Craig and John.
Now I'm just waiting to see whether it's the Yankees or Houston that the Twins will play in the playoffs.
You mean who the Twins will lose to in the playoffs? It's Craig and John. I'm sorry. It's great. It's been such a great season. There's so much fun to watch. That Miguel Grand Slam.
I'm going to have to buy you a Twins hat or something. So you can wear that for a while.
Sit back and enjoy the ride. Right. Until it crashes. It's Craig and John. Curtis Riggs, Football Digs with Riggs. Were the Bears screwed? Is he done with Derek Carr as the Raiders quarterback? And does he put more blame on the play call or the player when it comes to Kirk Cousins' game-losing interception in the end zone? It's 98.1 FM, 1230 AM, KWSN.com.
Get the latest local sports news, scores, schedules, and columns from John Gaskins by going to KWSN.com. Also hear the station live and Craig and John segments on demand at KWSN.com. Sports Talk with Craig and John, live from the Midco Sportsnet Studios, brought to you by Pfeiffer's, your local Bobcat dealer. Go to Pfeiffer'sOnline.com.
I keep saying you should do this. I just got to keep throwing it down the field.
Can't stop the clock. There's plenty of time, and they've got another 1-on-1 for Robinson! And he makes the catch. What an effort! Incredible performance by DeMarcus Robinson.
Yeah, it's amazing. You take Tyreek Hill away from Patrick Mahomes, and the Chiefs' offense becomes more dynamic. 4 touchdowns in that second quarter, and that's all they needed. That's the only quarter the Chiefs scored in a 28-10 win over Oakland. Neither team scored in the second half. Raider fan, quarterback guru, and I don't like that word because it's used too often, but he is. And our analyst here on KWSN, also on Midco SN, and SDPB, the head coach of the Sioux Falls Storm, Curtis Riggs, joining us. Yeah. It's time for your football digs with Curtis Riggs. We've done a lot of Vikings and Packers and a little Bears, Broncos, and a little Patriots.
I'm tired of those teams.
And we'll get Curtis's thoughts on all those teams and games, but let's shift to, first of all, the Chiefs and the Raiders and Patrick Mahomes. And it's just fun as a Chiefs fan to have a quarterback, and then we get this one. What are you seeing out of him through two games? What did you see yesterday?
It's like he's playing playground football. I mean, that's really what it's like for him. I mean, he just drops back and makes it look so easy and so effortless, and really it seems like anyone he throws to now all of a sudden is an all-star. But I mean, they're really good. They're really good offensively, and you know, it's even scary to think Tyreek Hill not playing is going to come back. And if they can stay healthy, you know, I think they're a team that could possibly contend with the Patriots.
What is Patrick Mahomes doing better this year that he wasn't doing as much or as well last year as the MVP?
I think the one thing, he's really comfortable now with the system, and he sees the field so well. He throws to spots rather than trying to squeeze it in a tight window. He's going to throw his receivers open, and that's really a big difference of what you see. Like, even watching Carson Wentz last night, he's trying to squeeze it in, sometimes throwing behind receivers a little bit. Mahomes has already got the ball gone. The ball is gone, so the receiver is running to the football. And I think that's the difference of him amongst all the other quarterbacks right now.
The other side to this game, of course, is the Raiders, who beat the Broncos and looked great offensively doing it. Derek Carr was looking like, I don't know, Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes in that opening win. And John Gruden, who just by hard knocks, when you watch the interaction between him and Derek Carr, does not seem convinced that Carr is coming with them to Vegas next year. He said the offense lost its rhythm. That's the other side, as the Raiders didn't score after the first quarter. What are you seeing out of that offense, and where are you at as a Raider fan and quarterback man with Derek Carr?
Well, I think they're definitely better than last year. There's no doubt about that. I mean, they're up 10-0, came out looking really good, and then, Kansas City defense settled down, and then the Kansas City offense just erupted in that second quarter. I think the one thing is they don't have dynamic playmakers. They have a good tight end that no one really knew about, but you don't really have a great receiving core. They have a really good young tailback. I think they're still a work in progress. I would be shocked, though, if Carr doesn't still go in to Vegas with them. Just to have a veteran guy that still takes you and carries you into that first year into the new arena.
How good is he? I mean, the Raiders have marching into Minneapolis on Sunday for their first road game. How good is Derek Carr? And imagine him against the vaunted Vikings defense.
Vaunted, huh? Wow, that's a bold term.
Hey, they held Aaron Rodgers scoreless for the last 11 drives yesterday.
Well, you know, I'll give you my reason why they're not a vaunted defense when we talk about that game. But with Carr, looking at all the other quarterbacks, I think he's pretty good. Could they do better? Possibly, but it's really hard. It's really hard to just get better. And you look at, the Vikings right now are wondering if $84 million was a sound investment. Is Cousins better than Carr? Well, right now, I don't know. I haven't seen anything that makes me think he's better than Carr.
No.
I think they have a good quarterback, but a difference-making Super Bowl-winning quarterback, probably not.
Cousins, by the way, is the lowest-rated quarterback in the NFL after 2 weeks. And looking at yesterday, doesn't surprise me one bit. He may have to go on the witness protection plan here pretty soon. Why? Here's the deal. The play call, first and goal from the 8. Why are you passing the ball when the Vikings were seeing success running the ball during that drive with the Packers?
The play call was fine. There's nothing wrong with the play call. First down's the best down to do any play action. I mean, I can't stand when teams, it's third down and they decide to do a play action pass. They're not getting anyone on that. First or second down is the ideal down for any type of play action pass. They have two great receivers, a great tight end, and you feel like you have a veteran quarterback that's going to make a good decision. I have to believe his intent was to throw it to the corner to where only his guy had a shot or it goes out of bounds, and he just underthrew it. It was a terrible decision. I mean, there's three things that I recognized watching that game. One, that was such a critical mistake. Second, was the Vikings defense had a chance to stop the Packers and get the ball back, and they couldn't do it. The Packers ran out the clock. I mean, I'm watching the Broncos against the Bears. Joe Flacco did the exact same thing. He threw a pick into the end zone. The Bears get the ball back. The Broncos stop them and get the ball back for the Broncos. They go down, score, and have that crazy end of the game. The Vikings defense couldn't do it, and the Packers weren't doing anything flashy. They were just running the ball, and they ran out the clock. And then the third thing is the Vikings offensive line is not great, and it's not an offensive line that can line up and just pass the ball, because when they have to do that, defensive lines can really get after them.
So many mistakes by the Vikings yesterday, even the silly penalty with Stephon Diggs taking his helmet off after he scored the touchdown. I mean, just so many stupid penalties that the Vikings put themselves in a hole. You got to wonder that, you know, most of these guys have been around a while. Why are they making these dumb decisions? Is it because they're so into the Green Bay Packers?
I think an interdivision game, I mean, you get down, emotions start to get high, and you just react, and you just make a stupid decision. I mean, you're at their place. The fans are taunting you. You're down 21-0, and then you make a great play, and you show I am as great as I think I am, and then you want to make sure everyone knows that, too. It is, though, as you say, a lack of discipline, though.
How much does that reflect on coaching? Because it wasn't just yesterday. The Vikings led the NFL with 110 penalty yards last week as well.
Well, yeah, I think it's a huge part of coaching. It's sometimes flamboyant players are going to be flamboyant, and then how you address it behind the scenes, though, is what's going to dictate if they continue to do it or not.
Yeah.
So moving forward, now we see if Stephon Diggs learns his lesson. If he does, we know that Zimmer addressed it.
Very fair. It's all weird because I watched it going, come on, dude, what are you doing? You're an established receiver now. I mean, you had
you
the miracle.
Better,
yeah. You're on insurance commercials. You have nothing to prove. This is what you should be doing. And why are you, and by the way, you're still behind. Your team is still behind in the game. And at the same time, I think, Curtis, well, this is what makes Stephon Diggs great. He was doubted out of college because of his injuries. He was a fifth-round pick, and that chip on his shoulder is a big reason why he's emerged to some people as a surprise talent. But yeah.
Maybe he did the helmet thing because the moon thing had already been done.
That's,
by Randy Moss.
I mean, yeah, because I can't imagine. That was also what came into my head is how much worse are Packer fans when it comes to whatever they yell and however they yell compared to most teams on the road. You don't
Oakland,
see,
I'm sure, doesn't do anything like that.
Well, those doctors and dentists who dress up as if it's Halloween and, you know, dress up with their whatever you call that garb. Would you do that, by the way? Have you done that? Going to a Raiders game?
No, I'm not one to dress up. No.
Just curious.
Yeah.
Probably not.
Drew Brees is out 6 weeks, so now Teddy Bridgewater is his team. He didn't look good yesterday. How much of a loss or a level, I guess, what's the New Orleans offense going to have to do different with Teddy Bridgewater without Drew Brees?
Pray. Teddy Bridgewater is a decent quarterback, but he's not better than Derek Carr, and look how we were just talking about him. There's a huge difference, a huge drop-off. I mean, I had picked the Saints and the Chiefs to go to the Super Bowl, and by no means do I think the Saints will even make their division's not very good, but I still think making it to the playoffs will be tough. It'll all depend on when Brees comes back from that injury and how healthy he is when he comes back. I think they'll still have a shot, maybe, but it'll be a reach. Bridgewater will be adequate. Their defense is pretty good, and their run game, is going to have to really carry them. They're going to really come up with a lot of elaborate screens, get the ball out of his hands quickly. But the Rams, they're good. I mean, they have a very good D-line. I think Bridgewater getting thrown in there at that time is not really a measuring stick.
Yeah, it's interesting because most people acknowledge Brees' greatness as the all-time yards leader in NFL history passing the ball, but some feel it's a lot of short passes to athletic skill makers and a genius in Sean Payton calling the plays, and somewhat of this is a byproduct of being a, I can't wait to hear you react to this, Curtis, a system quarterback, and we're going to find out just how much of a difference it makes in that system with guys like Kamara and Michael Thomas and the play calling of Sean Payton, just how much of a difference Teddy Bridgewater to, or yeah, Breeze to Bridgewater makes.
It's going to be a huge difference. The decision-making by Drew Breeze, knowing where to go with the ball, and when he does go with it, he throws the vertical concept better than anyone I've seen, and he does not have the most powerful arm, but he anticipates those windows just like Mahomes does on that vertical stretch game better than anyone else in the NFL. And Bridgewater won't have that same feel, same timing. And the leadership factor may be the biggest loss for them, for the Saints.
Curtis Riggs joining us. He's the head coach of the Sioux Falls Storm, 11 times an indoor championship coach and general manager, and analyst for Midco SN. He has opinions on our local college games, any college games he saw on Saturday, and the high school scene in our largest class, 11 AAA. Wow, it's quite a jumbled picture right now with Roosevelt losing on Saturday. So some questions about that, but we have to dig up the old dead body again of, should the Vikings have just kept Case Keenum? Because we actually are asking you that on Twitter right now, at KWSN Sports, after another Cousins steaming pile on Sunday. And it's close to 50-50. Some of you thought they just Keenum should still be the quarterback. And his numbers are pretty good the first two games in Washington. So we'll ask Curtis about that for the 1,800th time next on 98.1 FM, 1230 AM, and KWSN.com.
Follow the show, respond to the show, vote in our polls, and get the latest sports news on Twitter. Go to twitter.com/KWSN Sports. Sports Talk with Craig and John, live from the Midco Sportsnet Studios, brought to you by Plastic Surgery Associates of South Dakota. Helping you for face, body, or skin. Go to PlasticSurgeryAssociatesOfSD.com.
He's Craig Maddock. I'm John Gaskins. We continue with our football digs with Riggs coming off the weekend of football. He does not give Kevin Stefanski and the Vikings a thumbs down for the play call on first and goal, a play action rollout for Kirk Cousins. Ended up in the interception. Big part of the Vikings' loss. It's a bad decision by Kirk Cousins. And he also says the Vikings' defense could have stopped the Packers on their next drive, and they didn't. And so it was a team loss yesterday, for sure. Special teams had a bad day, and the defense had a bad, bad, bad start for the Minnesota Vikings.
Curtis, am I going to see you at U.S. Bank Stadium on Sunday?
No. I don't like going to those. I just would rather be able to watch the game in my basement. I find that tough to go to road games for Raiders. I did it one time with the Chiefs, and, man, I thought I was going to – one, I didn't think I was going to make it out of there alive. that was tough. No, I will not be there.
Yeah, he is an Oakland Raiders fan, the head coach of the Sioux Falls Storm, who breaks down a lot of football with us on Mondays.
We could sit together, I suppose.
There you go. You'd be safe. You'd be really safe right there with Craig and Faith Maddock.
Craig would make me paint my face yellow and purple.
No, not at all.
I've noticed only Faith does that.
If I'm not painting myself, my wife who does all the purple hair and glitter on the face and stuff.
I was at a Vikings game when they played the Lions, and three rows down from me, I saw this idiot standing up every time the Lions scored and was taunting the Lions, or every time the Lions scored, he's taunting all the Vikings fans. And I looked a little closer, and it's Stu Whitney, and he's just taunting everyone. Well, then the Vikings come back and win, and he handled it like a true champion, like a true Lions fan would. We had our moment of glory, and of course we didn't win. But boy, was it amusing!
Vikings fans would treat you with respect, Coach.
Yeah, sure.
They would.
Of course.
They would.
I hate doing this, but of course I got it. I got it a couple different directions. So here we go again, version 1832. Since Kirk Cousins did make the losing play yesterday, since he was basically kept out of the way and only threw 10 passes in an easy win over Atlanta last week, Poll question at KWSN Sports. Should the Vikings have just stayed with Case Keenum all along when he could have perfectly well handled a situation for a lot less dough to stay out of the way last week and maybe not do what Cousins did late against the Packers? Well, actually, the entire game. He had a really bad game on Sunday. You go ahead, Curtis.
I can't believe we're still...
But I get it, and I hear it on the Vikings call-in show, on the Vikings radio network. It's 60-40. These are Vikings fans who are voting on these polls. 60-40, and a lot of votes. It's 60-40 that they should have stayed with Keenum all along.
Yeah, we're extremely reactive, that's for sure. And especially, you know, hey, Cousins deserves criticism. I mean, you're making that much money. You're brought in. You're brought in to win games, and you're brought in to win these games. And so the difference with the great quarterbacks is third down conversion and red zone. That's the biggest difference, the great quarterbacks. And he's not fulfilling that, so he does deserve the criticism. But Case Keenum is not even close to being in that category. And the Redskins are 0-2, and yes, he might have more yards, but because they're down and he has to throw a lot, it's not even comparable. It's even with that mistake he made, I still wouldn't even consider them.
It's going to be so interesting when Case Keenum comes to Minnesota to take on the Vikings with Adrian Peterson. And that is going to be on October 24th. It's going to be a Thursday night game. That'll be very interesting to see what Vikings fans are thinking about that time.
Keenum has 5 touchdowns to 0 interceptions, an average yards per attempt rating, so it's not total dink and dunk, but it's not like he's getting the ball downfield. Just a reminder for the 1,832nd time to Vikings fans who still think because he costs so much less that Case Keenum would be a better option last year and this year, why is there such a separation between Cousins and Keenum? What does Cousins have that Keenum doesn't?
Well, one, I mean, arm strength is a big deal. Pocket presence, I think, is another one. Is the one thing you would have to criticize Cousins on? His ball security. That's a big deal. That's the one area I would consider, hey, you've got to fix this problem. I mean, but everywhere else, just composure, the way he handles himself, the understanding of the offense. You just feel like Cousins is better in all of those. I mean, he's a great competitor. He's an adequate runner. The thing yesterday, though, was for the first time, usually you don't see him miss open guys very often. And that was the one thing I saw, and I think a lot of that's attributed to the pressure the Packers got on him right away in the first quarter.
Yeah.
They got pressure on him, and then you start seeing him miss wide open throws. And that's where Cousins usually, the thing I always thought he was very good at is with guys hanging on him, guys around him, a tight pocket, he could make those throws. And he struggled with that yesterday.
Yeah, he displayed that arm strength on the touchdown pass to Diggs, on both touchdown passes to Diggs, the way he can zip it into tight windows.
People don't give him enough credit for that.
Yeah, no, I mean, so you're saying those are the kind of throws, most of the time, Cousins makes throws that Keenum can't. Okay. Curtis Riggs joining us, KWSN in Sioux Falls, Craig and John.
As long as the Vikings continue to lose, though, with Kirk Cousins, there are going to be Vikings fans who said, hey, we might as well have kept Keenum.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, true. Build up leading up to that game will dictate how the fans are. If Cousins gets hot, everyone will love him.
He'll be done.
If he doesn't play great, people are going to be cheering for Keenum.
Yeah. On the college end, University of South Dakota had a tough one with Houston Baptist. Although the latest FCS rankings out, if there was a top 30, Houston Baptist would be 30. What do you see happening down at USD? They just can't stop anyone via the pass.
Yeah, they can't cover anything right now. It's not as much the coverage part, but they get no pressure. They get no pressure on the quarterback. I think before they used to rotate just a lot of guys. They didn't have just a Tyler Starr. I mean, I guess that's the best way. They didn't have a Tyler Starr, so they would just platoon guys and stay fresh and wear you down. And now they don't even do that. So, you're seeing teams just be able to go back and drop back and throw for ridiculous numbers now. I mean, Houston Baptist, so on a 19-game losing streak to FCS teams and come in and throw for this number at your place, you got to hang your hat on something. And right now, defensively, maybe they're shutting the run down, I guess you could say, making teams one-dimensional. But the problem is that one dimension is also your biggest weakness. And so they've got to go back and look before conference play starts.
What other things? Curtis Riggs joining us, Bidco SN. He is a high school and college football analyst, head coach of the Sioux Falls Storm. It's our football digs with Riggs. More Vikings, Packers, more of your thoughts from Vikings and Packer fans. We'll open up the Tires fan line at the top of the hour. Anything else? College, I'll just leave the floor open to you. What you saw on Saturday out of either teams like Nebraska, Iowa, Iowa State, Gophers squeaking it out over Georgia Southern, or even the Jackrabbits. What really captivated you?
I did see the end of the Iowa-Iowa State game because that game got postponed or delayed twice. Iowa State just, you know, you really have to give credit to Iowa. They do a tremendous job in that rivalry game and find ways to continue to win when no one thinks they have a chance. And they just play solid, boring football. And they're really good at that. And they went in again and where you felt like Iowa State was the more athletic team, and Iowa came out victorious again.
Yep.
All right, got less than a minute left. A couple of things in the Indoor Football League. Iowa Barnstormers fire your friend Dixie Wooten down there at Iowa, and I know you know Pig Brown, too. He's the new coach at Duke City. What's your reaction to what has happened in your league?
Well, there is a lot of movement. I think you guys will hear about a lot of, there's a lot of news that will be coming out soon here. Dixie will, he'll get another job. In fact, he probably already has one, knowing him. So he'll be moving somewhere else, I'm sure. Pig Brown is just a class act. That's a great hire for Duke City to start in our league and to have a guy like that leading their team. He's just a tremendous young coach that works really hard and does things the right way, and he'll really help them to try to get their, you know, get a solid foundation in our league. I think you'll see there's more and more, though, coming. So the dust kind of has to settle a little bit, and then we'll figure out, you know, where things are going. But I know things are going in the right direction. It's really positive stuff that's coming forward with the Indoor Football League.
Very good. Curtis Riggs, appreciate it as always. By the way, do you have a favorite Eddie Money song after seeing the Money Man pass away on Friday?
God, Take Me Home Tonight probably is the easiest one. That's sure. The one that comes to mind right away. But I think, you know, I went out to watch him at the casino. What was that, a couple years ago?
Yeah.
He played out there, yeah. No? Well, that's unfortunate.
How was he? Was he good?
He was okay. Yeah, he was okay. It wasn't like when Bob Seger played here. Bob Seger, I don't know, he looks like he's 85 years old, and his voice still sounds the exact same.
10 seconds, favorite Cars song. Rick Ocasek that passed away.
I didn't hear you there.
Favorite Cars song, the Cars.
Rick Ocasek passed away.
Yeah, you know, I never liked Cars.
Okay.
I didn't. I liked the big Cars. Okay. I always thought they had the best video, though, when he walked up.
Yeah. We got to go, Curtis.
Good stuff, Coach. See ya. Goodbye, Aberdeen.